Well, if you're dealing with finance, of course, you're talking about interest rates, talking about inflation, as we've done today. But I want to make get practical right now. A lot of questions about people who are in the mortgage market already, who want to know what to do. So I asked Kyle Green, president of the Green Mortgage Team, to come on with me and chat about this stuff. Kyle, let's start with what's the environment right now? I mean, we've been watching and chronicling the move in the bond market, for example, and that five-year Canada rate does impact five-year rates. What have rates been doing?
Yeah, we saw major increases last year, actually. Bond yields had a huge run up. I think the biggest run up we've seen since 2009 in the bond market last year. There's two major increases in movements. We saw early in the spring, a number of movements up, and then another large movement up later in the year, around October, November. So we've seen two major big pushes up. One interesting part is that when Omicron came out, we actually saw bond yields drop in about 0.4% from peak to trough late November until late December. We've actually seen the rates completely rebound and make up for all of that that drop just in the last couple of weeks in early January. So we're starting to see now that, you know, banks didn't want to drop their fixed rate mortgages, even though bond rates were dropping during Christmas holidays. I don't think any bank wanted to step forward and say, hey, we'd like to be busier during the Christmas holidays. So we didn't see much movement there. But now I'm just starting to see movement. I literally saw an email about 15 minutes ago. It looks like TD might be moving up as of Monday. Scotia has already moved up. I think that the big banks are moving up just a little bit, about 0.1%, but they're starting to move up.
Well, again, you know, the big key here, and it's something I should reiterate, and I don't often enough, it's all about perceptions, you know, the actual move in the market. And then it becomes what the bond market's reaction to is what's going to happen, you know, like, okay, we've got this. Oh, my goodness, we might get that. But it just explains to people why when we look at housing here in Money Talks, we also look at the five-year bond market, for example, all the bond market, of course, for a couple of reasons. Well, let me just step back. You deal with so many people, your team does. And of course, you do too personally. But what kind of questions has this begged as we've come out of the Christmas season? We're now, you know, full swing into the new year. What are you hearing?
I mean, a really common question is, Kyle, should I lock in my variable rate into a fixed rate? That's a really common one that comes up. Another common question that that comes up, and we get this probably daily as well, is, Kyle, my renewal's coming up in summer of this year or in fall of this year. What should I do? Should I break my mortgage and redo it early? Should I wait and then wait until the renewal comes up? And so those are questions that come up. So if the question comes across my desk, should I lock in my mortgage? A lot of the time that we're looking at the spread and what you're currently at on a variable, which is probably around 1.5%. If you're locking in your mortgage, you're probably getting into close to 3% to lock in your mortgage right now. And usually the question revolves around, what is the likelihood you might break that mortgage later on? I think over a five-year period, I think that the variable versus fixed cost will be fairly similar one way or another, unless you break that mortgage early, in which case the penalty cost will be likely 5 to 10 times more expensive to break that five-year contract than it would if you were in a variable rate, which is just 3 months interest. And then with determining what to do with your renewal coming up, some lenders will do an early renewal for you 6 or even 9 months ahead of time. So make sure you check with your bank, get a quote on that and figure out what those rates are. And if you want to bounce some ideas off of myself or my team to figure out if those are competitive, then we can help with that. But in general, those early renewals may allow you to jump into a fixed rate early now before they do rise, which I do think will happen this year.
Yeah. And two things you've just immediately said, know what your mortgage is about. Like what penalty would you get? Number one, do you have early renewal? You know, and if not, or if so, well, that may answer the question for you. If not, then what would be the penalty? But I mean, I know it's straightforward, but, you know, check what the numbers are. And that leads to the question I'm getting, which are also the ones you've just said, especially the early renewal I'm hearing about. But the other I'm getting is, okay, I've got 2 years left in my mortgage, or I got 3 years left in my mortgage, and now I'm worried about it, about what they call blending and extending. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, It's interesting topic because actually during COVID, this was a very common thing where a lot of lenders were doing this. A few lenders actually stopped doing blend and extends. And the reason for that is there was a weird little loophole where if you blended and extended with some banks, your penalty cost may have shrunk. And so some people blended and extended and then broke their contract immediately after, which reduced their penalty from 25 grand to 5 grand. Yeah. So people got pretty smart with it. Guess what? The banks are even smarter. And so a lot of them are now not doing blends and extends. So it may be possible you have to check with your bank. But in essence, a blend and extend means that you go from extending your 2-year contract out to 5 years. And effectively, they're just balancing out and weighting the average rate and giving you a new 5-year contract at an average rate of what you have now and what the current rates are.
Are you worried? And I know this is a broad question, you know, and it's hard to get the empirical data for it. So I'm just getting your impression. But are you worried that, you know, one of the things we saw is obviously a lot of people rush into the housing market. We thought on our show and Money Talks right from the get-go in March, when the Bank of Canada, March 2020, said, we'll guarantee mortgages, basically. You know, when they came out, I said, well, wait till you see the rush into housing at that point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you're going to get these record lows. And sure enough, the financial institutions lowered their rate at that moment. You know, they had been worried too. They've been worried about what the impact of COVID. Well, that impact was gone when they did that. But, you know, worries about a lot of people got in a little too far over their head, or they were pricing themselves for perfection. Like, as long as housing never goes down, as long as I keep getting a raise, as long as the price goes up. Are you worried about that? Do you think there is overextension in this market? Because you sure heard the government talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, the overall amount of debt in Canada has increased significantly. And that's obviously a concern as Bank of Canada needs to consider increasing interest rates. And if you have more debt in the country, then it's going to affect the entire country in a much larger scale. But when I look at an individual level, keep in mind that we have had the stress test, which means that everybody's qualifying at a rate of 5.25%. Even in a 5-year period, I personally don't believe that we're going to hit rates of 5.25%. But yet that's the rate that's being used to calculate and qualify individuals when they get a mortgage today. So everybody has to qualify as if that is their interest rate, which means that it already has been stress tested. I don't see what I saw maybe 5 to 7 years ago, where people aren't running out and writing offers left, right, and center on 10 pre-sale condos. I don't see that speculative purchasing right now that I saw 5 or 10 years ago. I'm a little less concerned about this market than I would have been 5 years ago based on that. And especially with the stress test being a blanket over every single borrower, they're pricing in that rate increase right now.
Let me just, before I let you go, I want to come to something else, a new subject here.
Yeah.
And that is about the talk about raising the down payment someone would have to make on, is it just restricted to investment properties?
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some talk about that. It's very early stages, but CMHC is involved in the talks and conversations. And so the concern is that they may be increasing the down payment to 25, maybe even 35% down for rental properties. And I think that some stats came out, and I haven't validated this myself, but I read it very quickly, but up to 25% of all purchases last year were for investment purposes, which is absolutely insane. So that's much higher than what we've seen in the past, like two to five times more than what we typically see in a market. If that is the case, and they do come out with much larger down payments, that has a large negative impact on your return on investment. If you can put 20% down instead of 35 or 40% down, let's say, well, your ROI, your return on investment is nearly double if you can put 20% down instead of 40% down. So it's something to consider. And if they do start to come out with some rule changes, it may be, if you're on the fence and thinking about it, it might be worth jumping in now, as you might not have the opportunity to put just 20% down soon.
Just very quickly, if I get pre-approved for a mortgage, and then different financial institutions might give me 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, can they change that, or is it ironclad, if you know what I mean? Like, just as you said, you've kind of been thinking about an investment property. Your point is so well taken that the amount that you have to put down has a direct impact on your return on investment, obviously. But so let's say I got a 90 day out there and I had my eye on selecting something. Can they change that because the rules like that change?
When governments change a rule like this, they will say that uh, the you will have to have a live contract by a certain date. So they'll probably come out with it and they'll say, okay, everybody that has a live contract dated on or before this date is grandfathered, as long as they complete by this date. A pre-approval will not do that for you. A pre-approval is just going to hold the interest rate, but it will not hold policy.
Great stuff as always. The Green Mortgage Team. Kyle Green is the head of it, of course. The Green Mortgage Team. Kyle, thank you for taking the time. And you're going to be with us at the World Outlook Conference, which is great. And that's a time to come. And you'll get a chance, you know, Kyle will by then have another, well, maybe the same list, a whole list of questions that he'll make sure he answers in his presentation, the ins and outs, because obviously the most important financial decision for most people is when they buy a house. And so there you go. Kyle, thanks for taking time. Great stuff.
Yep. Thanks a lot, Mike.